Give me a W.
W.
Give me a G.
G.
Give me a B.
B.
Give me a B.
B.
Give me a... No, wait, that's basically WGBB Freeport. That's
Isn't it time for Dave's Gone By?
Yeah, right now.
There goes the Daverhood.
You got David Lefkowitz here. He's a Long Island arts guy. He's got his own radio show.
Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, twirling around at night.
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, good evening, everyone, on this Mother's Day night to Dave's Gone By, our 310th edition of this program, coming to you from the studios of WGBB AM 1240 on your radio dial and AM 1240 WGBB.com on your internet dial sort of flipper thingy, whatever they call that thing on the internet. I should know by now. The internet isn't quite a new thing anymore. I should probably know what they call that on your keyboard, on your screen, on your modem, on your mouse. I'm starting to sound like Joe Franklin. I'm so exhausted, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so tired and overworked that I get on here and I start rambling. I've just gotten on mic a second ago. It's also like 95 degrees in this studio tonight. So between that and the sagging of my eyelids, if I manage to keep my eyelids open and my mouth going for the next hour or so, that'll be the true miracle of Mother's Day, ladies and gentlemen. If I manage to keep making some level of coherent sense on this edition of Dave's Gone By. But why shouldn't I? Because we have a lot of wonderful stuff to do on the program. If the actual habitat here, if the fact that it feels like a hothouse jungle in the studio, and if the fact that I've been working ridiculous hours all week isn't enough to conk me out, what wakes me up is the idea of being here and being able to talk to you, to share stuff with you, and to have a fun show like the one that we've got. First of all, we've got Inside Broadway, which we do almost every week, where we share the news of what's going on the Rialto, and this was a big, big week, ladies and gentlemen, because this is when the Tony nominations were announced just a couple of mornings ago. So there were a lot of big shows and a lot of big contests going on that are going to be vying for the Tony Awards on that Sunday, June 7th, which, by the way, is when we'll be doing our annual Tony Awards show here on WGBB from 5 to 7 p.m. Just thought I'd throw that plug in there for you. But so last week, my special Jeff, who still refuses to put his headphones on so he can talk to me. So Jeff, can you get your headphones on and close your computer and be with us on this edition of the? I'm not putting your mic. You're either with me or you're on the computer.
I'm with you,
no, turn off the computer. Your mic is off. I don't even have your mic off. Close the thing. Close the thing and be with us. There we go. We weren't actually expecting to be on until 11:15 anyway, so we're rolling in rather casually to this episode of the show. But anyway, it's Inside Broadway, and we're going to talk about the Tony nominations. Jeff and I sort of predicted what some of the nominations would be last week, and now we can sort of go over those and see where we're at. So that'll be cool. And also I want to talk more about my trip to Los Angeles that was really mind-blowing and eye-opening a couple of weeks ago, thanks to the National Endowment for the Arts and the USC College, where they brought us all down there, a whole bunch of arts journalists, and tried to teach us to be not just better writers and better journalists, but also to try and engage with what journalism is going to be in this century. Anyway, I see Jeff has got the headphones on and he's got the computer closed, which means I can put him on mic. Hello, Jeff.
When are they going to teach you to be a better person?
Never. Never. I just get meaner and angrier and
darker. Oh, my God.
Darker.
I was sitting there waiting for you. I'm talking. I'm waiting to get introduced.
I was waiting for you to stop doing what you're doing.
Uh-oh, someone's calling.
Now, this could be
in.
Either our special guest, who's going to be, I forgot
we'll
to mention.
We'll do it live and on the air.
His name is James Selvidge.
Ooh.
Now, this is a guy who has quite a cool history. And caller, I'll get to you in just a couple of minutes when we go to commercial. But James Selvidge ran a theater in Seattle, a movie theater. Now, we're normally talking about stage kind of theaters here. But this is kind of movie night on Dave's Gone By. Because Selvidge is a real expert on film. And not just the big commercial stuff, but the foreign films. And also the independent films and the documentaries. And he ran a movie theater in Seattle for quite a few years and was kind of a theater mogul out there. But it's more than that, because he was someone who stood up for free speech in the sense of film. And he had to fight for it. I mean, it's one thing to get on the air and I can blather on about how important it is to be able to say what we say and maybe take cute little pot shots at the FCC. It's quite another what Jim Selvidge went through in running that theater and being able to show a film starring Brigitte Bardot that did not have nudity in it, that had virtually no real sexual content, and yet the mere mention, the mere name of Brigitte Bardot sent the censors going wild.
Brigitte Bardot.
Threatening to put him in jail. And then he also had real encounters with things like the mob and with the John Birch Society, those wonderful racist people. So we got James Selvidge going to be talking to us on Dave's Gone By tonight, and also Inside Broadway, and my trip to L.A., and God knows what else. Jeff, why don't you do our sponsors?
Okay, well,
come on, if you don't know our sponsors,
I know. There's Hewlett, Minim, and Press, the copy kings of Broadway. They're next to the old Lohman Shoe Store, the old defunct Lohman Shoe Store, poor things. And well, they'll give you 10% off if you tell them you listen to Dave's Gone By. And they'll do any copying job, big or small. Then there is also the deli that you save the last something off for. The deli. The Woodrow.
Lord, Jeff.
The Woodrow Deli.
Woodrow. W-O-O-D-R-O.
No W.
We're leaving off that. You got that part right. The Winthrop. Where the hell did you get the Winthrop?
I don't know. It just came to me. I've never been to the Woodrow Deli. They have never extended an invitation. So I don't remember their name.
Thanks for saying you've never been to the deli that sponsors us. Well, I'm never going to let you do a sponsorship. I don't know what to do
on
this.
It's on the other end of Long Island.
I cannot take a phone call on this program because I don't know what the hell's going to come out of your mouth when I take my mic off to take a phone call.
Well, it's in Hewlett, in a lovely little bar.
Yes.
Bar
you've
Harbor
never been to the Woodrow Deli?
Never been to the Woodrow Deli. I live in Massapequa Park, the other end of Nassau County.
Yeah, okay. Yes, it's about a half hour's drive from where you live. Worth the trip. Because the food is kosher and good. It's pastrami. It's
but I've still never
it's
been
chicken.
There.
Well, you should go. Woodrow is the place, because it's really a really good deli, period. Really good. Very, very delicious food.
I'm waiting for
priced.
My invitation.
An invitation?
I wouldn't.
All right, I invite you to go to the Woodrow Deli and eat there.
You paying?
No. I'll go Dutch, if you like.
We can wear wooden shoes? Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
And order windmill sandwiches?
Well, with French dressing, maybe. But anywho, I don't even know what that means. Holland, could you do a hollandaise sauce in a place that's parv?
I don't know.
Anyway, so you did Woodrow Deli badly. What other sponsor did you do?
Oh, I creamed the Copy Kings of Broadway.
Did you get Hewlett Minuteman Press
yes.
right?
Yes.
There you go.
And
very
they told me next to the Funk Lohman Shoes, I mentioned 10% off today. It's gone
so
by
you did
listeners.
Hewlett Minuteman Press beautifully. Thank you. Well done. What's our other
two
other
this
sponsors?
Oh, crappy Bible of Broadway thing. I don't know. What is that?
It's called Performing Arts Insider, the Bible of Broadway.
It's not really the Bible of Broadway.
Yeah, it is the Bible. What's then the Bible? Well, maybe the stage manager's handbook or something. But we're the New Testament.
Or Play Guy, I don't know.
What? Play Guy? I don't know what bookshops you've been frequenting, and I don't want to know. But, you know, Performing Arts Insider, since 1944, the Bible, at least I call it the Bible of Broadway, and so do a lot of people
I'm the
subscribe.
One who named it the Bible of Broadway.
Was that your
yes,
line?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so there you go. Why is it the Bible of Broadway, Jeff?
I have no idea.
Because
I was high that day.
High on helium. It gives you everything you need to know about Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret, opera, dance,
it does.
Awards and events, all the information. It's if you need to contact actors or managers or producers or agents or theater owners.
They'll do it for you?
All in there. They won't do it for you. Stop being stupid. I'm sorry, I'm in a bad mood to begin with. Why are you worsening my mood?
Because you gave me a little crapola in the beginning.
Well, yeah. Because you know that I have an issue about this. That
no,
you get involved in looking at your computer instead of being on this show. That bothers me. It's like we're here for an hour, and you can sort of like you can zone into the show, or you can zone into Wikipedia.
No, I was fine. I was right with you.
Yeah.
I was paying attention to you. I heard every word you said.
No, I know you were paying attention, but you still couldn't. You didn't have your headphones on, and you couldn't engage.
I could hear you. I don't need headphones to hear you.
I feel like I'm Howard Stern dressing down like Baba Booey. I don't quite like that. I don't want to be like that person. And
well, then don't.
I'm sort of driven
nice.
To it tonight. I don't know. I'm just in a bad
Dave,
place.
Dave, your true self is really coming out. I mean, I've known Dave for years. He's always been this nice, nice guy to me.
Yeah.
And then it turns out he really hates everybody.
Pretty much. Yeah.
And now he's starting to hate me.
I don't
hate
you. I don't hate you, but I need to control you in these little minutes that we have
on the air. I wanted to talk
here.
About what you were so busy with during the week.
Oh, you want? We don't really have time to talk about that, but or
because
we'll
you may
later.
Be knocking on someone's door.
Oh yeah, no, it's well, some of it's confidential, but I can certainly say that I'm working.
He's
for,
a government agent, ladies and gentlemen.
I am a federally sworn in oath taking, and sometimes I use a couple of oaths. Member
what does
of,
that mean? Use oaths?
You know, swear. Okay, but I work for the Census Bureau at least for a few weeks. So if you see me wandering around your neighborhood, knocking on your
in
door...
In the rain?
This week, oh, God. You know, I was standing there with this machine in my hand. You know, this is not 10 years ago.
I know,
now
you
they've
can
got
get
these
electrocuted.
GPS thing, nah. But what you can't do is use it properly, because every 2 seconds there's rain dripping off it. So I have to keep cleaning the screen off. It was ridiculous, so I just went home on a couple of those days when it was raining this week. But yes, I'm working for the Census Bureau... Shame free. I got a 98 on their test to get into the thing.
What'd you get wrong?
They don't tell you. They just tell you the score. You know. So yeah, you get to ride around, and most people do it from their cars, but I of course go by bike, which has its advantages actually.
I'm sure.
The car people have to park and then walk all the way around the block back to their car.
Right.
I can just sort of pedal wherever I want to go.
Yeah, pedal up to the front porch if you want.
Usually I do. I want to walk one step more than I have to. And the best thing is when they're not home. Because then all I got to do is go boop, 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 boop. It takes 15 seconds and I'm done. If they're home, then I got to ask them a stupid question. They have to give a stupid answer.
What's the stupid question?
Stupid question is this a single family residence or a multi-unit dwelling?
If I tell you it's a multi-unit dwelling, what do you do?
Nothing. See, people don't seem to understand. Why would they? But they don't seem to get that... The real census comes next year. That's when they fill out all the paperwork about how many people are living there and what their professions are and how old they are, all that stuff that is the real census. This is just about the buildings. This is just going house to house to see if the building itself is built to hold
my
one family
question,
or two.
What happens if the building's not there?
You have to mention that. You have to say, does not exist. There is a thing that you press... Where a little black circle where you say, this building does not exist. Or it might be, this is a non-residential building. Or it's a multi-use building or something like that. But if a person is there, this is the sucky part, you have to knock on the damn door, and if a person is there, you have to ask them a question. And the question is, well, A, if there's no house number on the house, you have to check and see it's the right house. And B, is it a single-family unit? And every time I feel I want to ask this question, the people... especially don't look like they've lived here that long. I expect to see like 50 Guatemalans running towards the subway tracks while I'm asking the thing, you know? Or the railroad tracks. God, I blew that joke. But, you know... But they don't get it. You know, they seem to fear like, oh my God, it's an immigration thing or whatever. And it's just, no, I don't give a crap. I just want you to tell me. And there are people, literally. People I get
people
to...
tell you why?
Women.
Why?
Especially women. I get to the door... And I'm like, I have one question. I say, I don't have time. I have a question that will take them 10 seconds to answer. And they close the door on me and they say, I don't have time. I'm like, you know, you're these kept Long Island Jewish American
princesses.
What
do you write on
most
that?
Of you.
Say, uncooperative?
Well, no, if they don't answer, technically, believe it or not, this is the cool thing. I'm sorry to keep James Selvidge holding, but we'll get to him in just a minute or two. But this is the interesting thing. Because I'm a sworn, deputized person of the federal government,
can you arrest them?
They technically have to answer my question. If it's a reason, if I'm asking the question that I'm authorized to ask, they are actually have to answer if I get to them.
I would love to film you at the door. You must answer my question.
Well, you don't want to film me when they're, like, closing the door on me, because I get pretty mean, as you can well imagine.
Oh, really? Do you get mean to them?
Well, the door's closing in my face. I don't really get mean to them.
Has anyone complained to the Census Bureau about you?
Not yet. I'm hoping. I'm waiting. I hate this job. But it's only for a couple of weeks.
And the pay is good, right?
Pay's pretty good. No benefits, but the pay is... You can work anywhere from 20 hours a week to 40 hours a week. You have to work a minimum of 20, although I did not last week because of the damn rain. But, and you can't get overtime, you can't go over 40. But, you know, 40 hours a week at the rate they're paying, which I will not say on the air, is
it's
not
$400
bad.
An hour.
$400 an hour, I would love this job. It would be the best job in the whole wide world. And you know what? Nice weather, it ain't a bad job. It really ain't. When it was nice and cool after the rains,
well, this week
was,
will be
really
lovely.
Cool.
It'll be nice to week.
Yeah. So, it's not a terrible job, it's just I'm not suited for
so
it.
So one day, Dave may be knocking on your door.
If you live, well, not around this area.
Asking you a question that you must answer.
Yeah, exactly. Please answer it. If I see you, if you're there, realize, yes, I have my little tag,
why
I'm
you
from
say
the census.
Someone from the census, they're just going to ask you, is a single family, or if you don't want to tell them you have an extra apartment in the back, tell them it's a single family dwelling.
Yeah, you can lie. I mean, the problem is if we see that there's an extra doorbell or a thing on the side, we're supposed to notate that. Even if the person's lying. But you're not going to get in trouble for lying. I don't care. Just talk to me for 10 seconds, and then you can go on with your miserable, privileged Long Island life. You know, with your husband's trust fund and his Wall Street whatever, you know, that he's cheated all our taxes out of. You can talk to me for 10 damn seconds. I'm from the government. Screw you,
my
lady.
God, you got a big head on you just because you get sworn in. I'm from the government.
I know. I feel like, hey, you know. Sometimes I'm tootling up there, and I'm like, hey, you know.
I am from the
government. I may be a big nobody, but I come up to your house, and I'm like,
you
got to
answer my one question.
Yeah. You know, it makes you wonder, like, when some guard puts on a uniform in a store and they think they're hot stuff because they're wearing a uniform. I understand it.
So,
I get it, you know?
So you feel just like your, what's his name from Different Strokes?
Good Lord. Arnold?
Yeah, no, who played him?
Gary Coleman.
Just like Gary Coleman?
What do you mean I feel like Gary Coleman?
He was a security guard in the mall, remember?
And that was after, right? He became
a...
Oh, well, yeah.
And he was very
authoritarian. Well, A, because he had the uniform, and B, because, let's face it, he would go in there, and people would stop in, and say, are you? And he said, yeah, goddamn Gary Coleman, I am.
What you talking about, Willis?
Well, I know what we're talking about on this edition of Dave's Gone By. Besides coming to our census... Ha, 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 ha.
Oh.
We're talking about theater and we're talking about movies. We've got James Selvidge, movie expert and real champion of free
champion.
Cinema speech, coming up right after these messages. Please don't go away. Here's a place you should know when your hunger does grow. Come visit the Woodrow. Have a little tongue, have a bowl of soup, have some lemon chicken and chopped liver by the scoop, brisket and pastrami, Simmons and salami, catering and everything is kosher and it's yummy, turkey and knishes, deli so delicious. Everybody go to the Woodrow. Everybody go to the Woodrow. Woodrow, kosher delicatessen, 5 decades, serving fresh, delicious cold cuts and entrees, open 7 days at the Peninsula Shopping Center in Hewlett. 516-791-4033. 791-4033. For lunch, dinner, catering, and private parties. The Woodrow. There's the place you should go. Meow. I'm not an ordinary cat. I'm a copycat. I love to make copies. So my favorite place is Hewlett Minuteman Press. For 3 decades, they've been on Broadway in Hewlett, printing booklets, making business cards, designing wedding invitations, and making millions of copies. Meow. How good is Minuteman? Hey, I used to have one life. Now I've got 9. Hewlett Minuteman on Broadway opposite Lohman's. Tell them Toner the Copycat sent you for 10% off. Something just became clear to me, thanks to my guest co-host Jeff Goodman here on Dave's Gone By. I forgot to mention the other sponsor of this program is Fancy Schmancy Balloons for all your party decorating needs. Things like, we're not talking about balloon animals here. We're talking about beautiful decorating archways and
centerpieces. Well, we can do balloon animals, too.
Can you make a balloon animal?
Meow, yes we can.
Really? You do balloon animals? I didn't know that. Can you make me a balloon ocelot?
Yes.
Oh, boy! Oh, but I want a balloon ocelot tonight.
I don't have any latex with me.
I'm not even going to touch that line. Yes, I am. What did you do with your... No, I'm not going to... Anyway, how do people get in touch with Fancy Schmancy Balloons?
They call me.
At?
My phone number.
Which is?
516...
Yes.
797...
Yes.
3229.
Say it again, please.
516-797-3229.
Call Jeff tomorrow to plan your party. All these graduations are going to be coming up. We've got certainly bar mitzvahs and christenings.
We do
the
all those kinds of beautiful centerpieces. As a matter of fact, you can be on our fancy schmancy shout out of the week.
What's that?
Each week we will shout out whose party we've done and congratulate them.
Oh, that's great.
So this week we'd like to shout out to Daniel Esch of Manhattan, and wish him a happy bar mitzvah, Daniel.
Happy bar mitzvah, Daniel. Oh, my God, that's so lovely. Maybe we can team up the rabbi to do that.
Have a Megillah good time.
Oh, wonderful. Well, happy 13th birthday to Daniel?
Daniel Esch.
Daniel Esch. Esch means tree. And so may you...
live long and bark.
Right. May your life have many leaves. May branch out.
One day we hope they cut something open and count many rings.
Alibi. Anyway, go to Fancy Schmancy Balloons for all your party decorating needs. Now, I have needs to hear about movies. You know, I talk about the theater here all the time because I'm a big Broadway person. I'm a big Broadway lover and also a theater critic for 2 decades now, and I co-publish Performing Arts Insider magazine. But it doesn't mean I don't love film. In fact, that was my first love before theater, seeing foreign movies on Channel 13 by Ingmar Bergman and Kurosawa and Jean Renoir, and when Cinema 13 would show those
okay,
things.
Show
and
up.
Silent film. No, I want to show up. I loved it. I was immersed in that before I went to college, and pointed me in the direction of taking film and television in college.
What was the last movie you saw?
Recently?
Yeah.
I showed it at the local library, Quantum of Solace, the most recent James Bond film. Quite disappointing. Not my kind of movie anyway. Not that I'm being snobbish about it. A good James Bond film is a good movie, but this one was kind of the cutting was so operatic and ridiculous. No, I don't think there was a shot in that movie that lasted more than 2.5 seconds. Anywho, why ask about the movies that I'm seeing when we can ask James Selvidge, who has seen more than 30,000 films in his lifetime.
30,000?
He's shown a few thousand,
too. How many hours is that?
Well, let's ask him ourselves. James Selvidge, are you there with us?
Right. How are you, Dave?
How are you, James? Thanks so much for calling and taking the time on this Sunday evening.
Glad to.
Is 30,000 a correct number for how many movies you've watched over the years?
And counting.
And counting.
And you figure the average movie is about 2 hours long?
Well, for the first half of my life, in Seattle, there were theaters that showed 3 films for 35 cents. So I spent many days seeing 6 to 8 movies a day.
Wow.
And that adds up.
But those were like monogram. I bet most of the movies then were about 55 to 65 minutes also, no?
Well, more like 80.
Really? Okay. Because I remember my dad used to tell stories of, all people's parents and grandparents used to tell the stories of going to the movies on Saturday morning at 11 and not coming out until 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And they'd just see movie after movie after movie and shorts and documentaries and mini features and all that kind of thing. But you ran a movie theater, didn't you?
I had a circuit of theaters, yes.
In Seattle?
Seattle, Portland,
other
cities.
What made you get into that field?
Well, basically, by the time I got out from the Korean War, I'd seen close to 8,000 movies, But then college and during Korea, I saw a lot of foreign films.
Foreign films?
Yeah, and most of them...
Foreign, not porn.
...seemed to me to be far superior.
Uh-huh.
This was a time when Hollywood was Rock Hudson, Doris Day, cookie cutter, you know, popcorn entertainment. And mm-hmm. foreign films made you think, made you, you know, talk about it. That was the origins of the round the water cooler dialogues movies.
Uh-huh.
And so I was sure that, that Seattle was big enough to support a theater on foreign films only. And I was naive in my thinking at the time, but I leased a theater and made some connections in New York and opened up. Now,
mm-hmm.
if you'll let me real quick, there's
sure.
two backstories, two things that I didn't know. First, that Seattle, from World War II until 1970, was the triple X porno production capital of the United States.
And I knew we'd get to porno eventually.
Thank goodness,
and
yeah.
Because an indiscreet employee got busted and wound up in prison in 1954,
yeah.
They originated the Seattle Board of Theater Supervisors. And actually what their job was to view every porno film, codify it, stamp it as not obscene, and for 20 years... In Seattle and the cities around the country that they serviced, there was never a bust because the prosecuting attorney would say, what do you want from me? You know, the censor board says it's not obscene.
Hmm.
But I didn't know this at the time, and all I knew was that Hollywood had declared, based on the first rash of great films like Bicycle Thief, that they would not import a foreign film, they wouldn't distribute a foreign film, and they wouldn't allow their theaters to show a foreign film. And
well, it was also the McCarthy era, yeah.
The rationale they claimed to the media was that the public wouldn't pay to see a film in a foreign language where you had to read subtitles. But the second film that I played... was Proud and the Beautiful, and there was a scene where in Mexico a couple is traveling and the husband gets sick and they send him to the hospital and the wife goes into a cantina motel and gets a room,
mm-hmm.
and there's a scene where she takes off her stockings and the theater board says, that's got to go, you can't show that. And my attorney explained to them that we couldn't cut any film because it would violate the copyright, and all we could do is make it adults only. And
did that solve the problem? In other words, as long as you don't let, this is before obviously the rating system, so if you just said, hey, we're not going to let anybody under 17 in, the ratings board was okay.
Well, unfortunately that wasn't the case. 3 days later I had a notice to appear before the Seattle City Council on a show cause hearing why my license shouldn't be revoked. And this happened at least once a month.
Wow.
The mm-hmm. second thing I found out was that the real reason Hollywood had said no was because of Joe McCarthy, the John Birch Society, something called the House Un-American Activities Committee, and the blacklist. I actually, in the period I was in the business, got to know some of those where somebody pointed a finger at him and said he's a sympathizer, and he was blacklisted from the industry for most of the rest of his life.
Who was that?
Well, it was a long list, but one that became a Bridgemont patron was Jules Dassin, who had been a top screenwriter and director in Hollywood in the 40s and 50s.
Did he do Tub Copy?
He did Never on Sunday, Tub Copy, He Who Must Die. He did some great films in Europe, but he had to work there Totally.
Oh, because he was blacklisted.
He was never
here.
Allowed to come
but
back here.
What did the McCarthy people and the John Birch people have against films from... was Franks seen as
common?
Well,
they had a common mantra. All foreign films are part of the communist conspiracy. So if you were showing a foreign film, you were a communist. I have in my scrapbook a newspaper with a 5-column picture on the front page of the front of my theater with people lined up to see the show. And the caption refers to it as a communist cell admission is whispering to the cashier, ACLU.
Really?
That's God's truth.
What newspaper was this?
This was the Yakima Republic.
The Yakima Republic. Well, there you go. It was the New York Post of its day.
The publisher was actually the president of the John Birch Society.
Whoa.
Well, he's out of business now.
So
yeah, mainly because of my attorney.
All right.
Let me ask you, speaking of attorneys and stuff like that, James Selvidge, how did Brigitte Bardot almost get you into jail?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got 2.5 generations now that may not know who she is, but back in the mid-50s, at that time, fairly prominent French director married her and starred her in And God Created Woman. It was a huge success abroad, and it was sold in the United States to National Theaters, which was the circuit for Fox, mm-hmm. and to United Drive-Ins, which was the largest drive-in circuit in the world. And boom, the censors said, you can't show this, it's condemned.
Too sexy for them, huh?
Yeah, so the foreign films in those days were handled by very small distributing companies that literally worked out of a briefcase in a maybe 300-square-foot office.
Mm-hmm.
And it was handled by a fellow named Peter Horner, who ran Kingsley International. He called me up and told me what was happening and if I could help him. So I said, well, if you can find me a French language print with subtitles and let me design my own ad campaign, I'll play it. And I did. It was a huge success. And actually, as a byproduct, this is a quick anecdote.
Wait, so you actually presented God and God Created Women?
And
that's what got you in trouble?
Yeah, this movie, I'll politely call it coincidence, but most censor boards in those days were majority Catholic, and they had what's called the Legion of Decency, and anything that they cited as C for condemned, which was a mortal sin, was poison at the box office.
Right.
And Hollywood wouldn't touch it. Well, they were so upset that they not only made the movie a C picture condemned, but they made her condemned. So in 1962, 4 years later, mm-hmm. I played The Truth, which starred her in a film by Henri-Georges Clouzot, who was one of the top directors in France.
He's the fellow who did Diabolique. And...
Yeah, he made Diabolique and Wages of Fear.
Right.
And I screened the movie for the critics on Monday. Again, this was a film that was to be a general release but was condemned. I showed it to the critics on Monday, and Tuesday morning's paper, well, both papers had banner headlines, Selvidge to be arrested. So when the film opened, the censor board is required by law to watch the first showing with the public so that they can testify in court that that's the film that they condemn.
Uh-huh.
So when intermission came around, I was standing out on the sidewalk, and it was like daylight because all three networks were there with their trucks and across the top of each Klieglight. And the regular patrons came out first, and then I saw through the door the censor board kind of circle like a football huddle in the lobby. And the chairman of the board came out while the others kind of scurried like cockroaches down the sidewalk. He put his hand to my ear and leaned over and whispered, with subtitles, it's more artistic. That kept me out of jail.
It's amazing the little things, those little bitty coincidences and the little quirks of people can make the difference in that case, rather than just something as simple as logic. Let me ask you, we're talking with James Selvidge, who is, by the way, the author of a book you've written about your experiences running these theaters and also dealing with people like the lovely John Birch Society and these idiot, well, maybe not so idiotic censors, maybe people doing their jobs and also trying to wink, wink and tell you that they really shouldn't be doing the jobs that they're doing. But tell us just a little bit about your book.
Well, basically, the book is two books in one. Mm-hmm. The first third is intended, and I think meets the bill, a history of those two decades. By nature of the politics of the time, almost all of the so-called art theaters, as the media named them, ran adults only. And this was in part to avoid vandalism as much as it was the content of the film. Anyway, the... Excuse me, it's a quick senior moment.
Sure.
The pressure that came from both sides of the coin, the political, meaning McCarthy and Birch, and the censor boards on the other side, was a real inhibitor of our building an audience. But
well, didn't you? I read somewhere that your theater was at one point sort of attacked, and your car was. What happened? Your car was smashed.
Well, the John Birch Society was, believe it or not, much more vicious than Joe McCarthy. I was driving down I-5 to a legislative hearing when the windshield of my car was blown out by a shotgun.
Wow.
And fortunately, it came in from an angle, and I wound up with white hair and ear, nose, and mouth filled with powdered glass, but I didn't get hurt.
No shots, huh?
But I was a victim of two assaults that put me in the hospital, three attempts to burn the theater down, and then the theater board had a cute little trick. The censor board, when they were frustrated regularly by the brilliance of my attorney.
What's his name, your attorney?
William Dwyer.
We have to give him his...
Yeah, give him some props. Yeah.
He wound up as the only Democrat appointed to the federal bench by Ronald Reagan in his 8 years of office.
Good for him.
Cool.
Probably the only
book is the book is dedicated to him. And anyway, the greatest assault was on a picture called Point of Order, which was a documentary made out of kinescopes of the McCarthy Army hearings when McCarthy was claiming that half the Pentagon were communists.
I've seen that film. It's Emil D'Antonio is the director, and it's pretty good. But that was already made after McCarthy had his what's the opposite of comeuppance? Well, it was his comeuppance, or
his
was
come
that
downs.
Before? Come
yeah,
down.
That was it. That
Joseph
film
Welch
really was ended on a note where everybody had walked out on him, and he was pounding on the desk with the gavel, point of order, point of order.
So he had already been discredited, and yet you're showing this documentary of his discrediting.
His discreditation.
Nearly caused more trouble?
A decade later.
A decade later, and yet still...
On opening night, they pelted the theater with rotten eggs. Next night, light bulbs. Oof. The third night, I showed up, and the whole front of the theater was smeared with excrement. And the fourth night, they sliced the tires on all my car. All the tires on my car.
They were
responsible also for the three arson attempts.
Did you sue them?
My attorney did, actually, but in another case, they alleged that a fellow named John Goldmark, who I knew he and his wife quite well, he was a senator from Eastern Washington and running for re-election, and they called him a communist, and it cost him the election, and my attorney sued for libel, and I think there were... 20 that got multi-million-dollar.
No, but did you ever get anything back from them after all the crap they gave you?
No.
Literally.
The only thing that brought relief was that the same year that this happened, Swedish director Ingmar Bergman released his film The Silence.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, the censor board condemned it, said it can't play. And the chairman of the board went on TV and described at length a scene that is not in the movie.
there is a scene in the film where a woman masturbates, but you don't actually see anything. Unfortunately.
No.
It'd be a better film if you did. Let me.
In fact, I'll argue with you that she was masturbating. All you see is the close, tight shot of her head and a woman that seems to be in agony. So,
yeah, all right.
Because she came off the train in agony and something was radically wrong, and her sister puts her in the hotel and heads to try to find a doctor. You don't know whether she's having a heart attack or a stroke or...
Or just plain stroking, yeah.
Yeah.
But we kind of have to wrap this up, but please, please, how can people get... First of all, what is the name of your book, and how can people get it?
Well, the book is Bergman, Fellini, Kurosawa, The Foreign Film in America.
Oh.
But if they will Google www.foreignfilminamerica.com, they'll not only get our website, but a lot of other listings by critics and people that have read it so far. And,
so it's www.foreignfilminamerica.com?
Yeah.
Foreign film or and films?
On our website, there's an order form that if they want, they can order it direct.
Well, cool. It's all an appreciation of the films and also your story, correct?
Well, where I broke off with the senior moment, the third of the book, as I said, is history. The other two thirds is coverage of the 330 greatest films from that two decades.
Oh, all right. What's the top film? What's the number one film for you?
The Seventh Seal is a drama.
Yes.
And the Mr. Hulot trilogy by Jacques Tati is comedy.
Huh. I never got into the Tati films. They didn't make me laugh enough. But Seventh Seal,
really?
I'm so with you.
I've seen Mr. Hulot's Holiday 39 times, and it still breaks me up.
It is an acquired taste. I really wanted to acquire it, but every time I see a Tati film, even Playtime, which is the one I kind of like the best, I want to like it more than I actually do. Oh well, that's what makes horse racing, since that's kind of your sideline as well.
As a parting shot, if you don't mind, this I didn't know until after the book was published and we started our marketing, which was just a couple months ago. out of those 330 films, 200 are now available on DVD through Netflix. Now, I have nothing
only
to do
two?
With them. I'm not...
Yeah.
I'm
surprised that it isn't a higher number at this stage, since everything gets saved and released on DVD. I'm surprised it isn't closer to 300, let alone 2.
Well, no. It's because it's not that easy to get the rights. And some of these films, even in the theatrical period, for instance, the Polish film Saragossa Manuscript, which is right up there with Bergman, it took me almost 2 years to find who had the authority to sell the U.S. rights, which I got, and I was a distributor for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And then it disappeared off the face of the earth until now it's available on Netflix.
Wow.
The Criterion Films, which is restoring so many films, and where most are available for purchase, they have a major crew, including partnership with Janus Films, which handled all of Bergman's and who I distributed for in the West.
By the way, because you were talking about purchasing films. Do you have an extensive film library of your own at home?
Well, I have on DVD, particularly Bergman and Toddy.
But, I mean, you don't have, like, just 20 DVDs. Do you have, like,
pardon?
Thousands of DVDs? Or?
Oh, no, not thousands. No,
okay.
I...
And by the way,
VHS tapes,
just so you know, I actually did the math on your, what was it? 30,000 films?
That's roughly 500 a week.
Well,
I mean a year.
Yeah. Well, it's not only that. It's actually 2,500 days in the theater, which is about 6.5 years of your life you have spent in a movie theater.
Well, I'm surprised it's not more than that.
Yeah. I mean, more...
Well, then maybe you're vastly underestimating the number of films you've seen.
The I'm up for Guinness Book of Records in 2010. I think I'm going to get it. But I'm. They use the term firm film buff a lot.
Yeah.
I'm also a film nut. Because of my father, is a matter of coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
I was seeing 10 or 12 films a year starting at age 8.
Wow.
1936.
That's a lot back then.
Then once I got into the industry, I was living in...
Well, yeah, if you were
theater.
Showing movies, you'd see the same film 5 times a week, you know, or... Aside from the fact that you saw Mr. Ulo's Holiday 39 times, so that doesn't count in the 30,000 films he's seen.
That's right.
It's 39 more.
Well, you know, I bet you he spent more of his life in the dark than in the sunlight.
Don't we all? I don't even know. Anyway,
well,
yeah.
In Seattle, we had 8 theaters that ran 24 hours a day.
Wow.
So it was very common for me to go in at 10 at night and come out at noon. And my introduction to foreign films was I did teach a year in Bakersfield, and weekends I went to L.A. on what I called movie marathons. And I literally, you know, lived in the theaters that were owned by Mayfair Pictures at the time.
So you didn't have to have a hotel room.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, James Selvidge, we've really got to move on, but I want to thank you so much. Everybody, go get James Selvidge's book, and it's S-E-L-V-I-D-G, James Selvidge.
You are a fascinating man.
Foreign Films in America. I hope you live long enough to see 30,000 more foreign films and report back to us on them.
I'm an ancient 80 now, so that's not likely, but I might make it another 5.
Another 5,000 will work.
Call us another 5,000.
You got it. Thank you so much for calling in, and really, really, best of luck with the book, and best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Have a good one.
Bye.
You don't have to pay big bucks on Broadway to enjoy a funny play. You could sit in the comfort of your living room, or bedroom, and read a whole book of hilarious comedies by the one and only me, Dave Lefkowitz, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, filled with my unique humor, satire, and spoofery. If you like my show, you'll love my book, $20 hardcover, $12 soft. Buy it at davesgoneby.org, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. It says it all, doesn't it? But give it to me every hour. Inside Broadway, brought to you by Performing Arts Insider and TotalTheater.com. Yes, Inside Broadway, this is the place to go to hear about what's happening on the stages of New York, both on and off Broadway. Let me just find my little Inside Broadway cheat sheet. Here we go. Well, first of all, one thing I want to tell you about theater is don't miss the brand new show, StageBuddy.com's Showbiz Talk. Why? Because I'm hosting it, and because it's going rather well, Knockwood. Everybody who listens to this show...
Well, we'll change that.
...might remember that back in the winter, I was doing a show for Stage Buddy that was kind of a variety show. We mixed it up with stand-up comedians, and with singers, and cabaret people, and theater people, and it was a lot of fun, and it went really well. But we wanted to go in a new direction come the spring, and also we wanted to change theaters from a cabaret setting to more of a legitimate theater. And so now we have. And we're down at the Players Theater on 150 McDougal Street, which is literally, it's right off the Minetta Lane.
Right. It's at the corner of Minetta Lane and McDougal.
Exactly. A block from the West 4th Street train station. Really easy to get to. Lovely. I mean, the theater itself is kind of run down, but they've really dressed up the stage, and it's actually a rather comfortable theater to be in. And we did our first show this past Tuesday, and it's more of a talk show. We have casting directors and also still actors and still performers, but it's more of a talk about the industry. It's especially for people who might want to become actors or think about getting into the business, or maybe you're in the business and need some tips. Plus, we kind of have fun. I mean, last week we had Melba Moore not only talking with us, but she performed a song, a medley from Hair, which was kind of, she was great.
Did you ask her for my money back from An Ace in Black?
I didn't get into the show that you saw on Broadway. What was it, a one-woman show?
No.
But I think she was involved in it. I looked it up, and yeah, it ran like five performances or something. And as according to you, justifiably so.
Yeah,
no, fun. we didn't mention that. We didn't mention that her TV show got canceled after one episode because it was the night of some terrible thing happened. And so America wasn't interested in the Melba show on that particular night.
Melba, exclamation point.
Toasted, yeah. But she was marvelous. And this Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, StageBuddy.com's Showbiz Talk will feature my good friend Charles Bloom. He was on this program. He's a composer, lyricist for the theater, and probably just a year or two away from breaking big with a show on Broadway. Also, Neil Bird. He's readying Grumpy Old Men for a Broadway slot in a year or two. And he's also the guy who does that 100 Years of Broadway cabaret show that's gone all around the country. Also, playwright David Simpatico and casting director Barry Moss. They're all going to be on this cool panel that I host at the Players Theater this Tuesday night.
So if you want to get cast in an upcoming Broadway show, come and see it.
Hey, bring your resume. That's part of it. You can network with these people. Bring a headshot. From 6:30 to 7, you can kind of mingle and network. 7 o'clock, we have the panel at the Players Theater on McDougal, $5 to get in. And once you pay the $5, you can stay for all three shows, because after we're done, there's a variety show and then an open mic. So you can make it a whole night at the theater. And you can buy drinks, you know, literally right next door and bring them in. So you can make it kind of a fun party night, but also a learning process.
And what night of the week is this?
Tuesday night, every Tuesday night at the Players Theater. For more information, please go to StageBuddy.com. Okay, it's midnight here on WGBB.
Midnight at the Oasis.
See how these things, Jeff and I were talking about this song in the car, and we just got into all these
Which
things
is not sung by Minnie Riperton.
No, it was not. Well, not that people would think it was sung by Minnie Riperton.
I
it was
did.
Sung by Maria Muldaur. And Jeff and I just got into this whole wiki sort of conversation. But we don't have time for that. We're inside Broadway, where we have a couple of things to report. Some bad news, again. Hasn't it been enough that we lost Beatrice Arthur? Wasn't enough we lost Dom DeLuise?
And Danny Gans.
And Danny Gans last week. That was freaky. This week we lost Sam Cohn, one of the co-founder of ICM, Talent Agency. He died on May 6th. He was 79 years old. This is a partial roster of his clients over the years when he was building up ICM. Woody Allen, Bob Fosse, John Guare, Arthur Miller, Liza Minnelli, Paul Newman, Mike Nichols, Vanessa Redgrave, Susan Sarandon, Meryl Streep, Lily Tomlin, Kathleen Turner, Sigourney Weaver, Kander, and Ebb. That's a partial
Boy, he had no idea how to spot talent, did he?
Well, I mean, he also got kind of lucky. He was third generation of a family that struck oil rich, so he could do that kind of thing with his life. And he was really best known for brokering deals with multiple clients on the same project. So, you know, he'd get one film, and he cast four of his people in it. And so, sad to hear that one of the old agent types is gone. Sam
Give me
Cohn.
A C, a bouncy C.
You're thinking on my wavelength. That character was not based on Sam Cohn. That character that Martin Short did was based on Irving Caesar. Right. Different, but I was thinking the same thing when I was checking up on the facts on this. Was this the bouncy C guy? And I said, no, that was Irving Caesar, who lived to, I think, 99 or something. Anyway, another piece of really, really kind of sad news. Our condolences go out to Stanley Tucci, the actor, whose wife of 14 years died of cancer this week, Kate Tucci. So, if you know Stanley, he was been on and off Broadway in Frankie and Johnny in the Claire de Lune. He's also in the films Made in Manhattan and The Devil Wears Prada. So, really sad news for him. So, sorry about that.
This is so uplifting, Dave. Who else died?
Well, no, you're going to like this. No, this is happy news for Jeff.
Oh, good.
Guess what Encores is going to be doing June 12th through July 5th. City Center, Encores.
The Bride and Bridegroom.
Nope. What's the show that you were hoping will come to New York at least in some form soon?
The Wiz?
Yes. Encores. Oh. What do you know?
But I wanted to see it because of the director.
Oh, it was being done by the Tommy guy?
Yeah, Des McAnuff.
No, this is an encore staging. It'll be fairly stripped down. But it does star LaShans as Glinda, the Good Witch, and Orlando Jones as the Wiz.
Okay.
Oh.
I wanted to see it. I only wanted to see it because I wanted to see what he could do,
what McAnuff would do to it.
Yeah, Des McAnuff would
do it. Or, you know who I'd like to see? Diane Paulus take a crack at it. Considering what she did with hair this year, the Wiz would be right up her alley, you know?
Possibly. I think maybe. I'm trying to think of something that was a good show that had, like, not a great book. She seemed.
I mean, there's dozens of them.
I know. But she seemed to take, you know, because the book with hair in hair was always the problem.
Yeah.
And she really fixed that up, and she recognized that. So I'm trying to think of a musical that really. Great music, bad book. But
well, Company, almost, for one. Company's book isn't bad, it's just kind of uneven and all over the place.
And also, maybe for a little night music revival coming?
Well, you know what happened with that.
What happened with that?
That was kind of going...
Oh, that was going to be with, what's her name?
Natasha Richardson.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a little bit, Actually, if I don't know how to make this joke work.
Don't. Just don't even say it.
No, actually... Natasha Richardson, they're thinking of bringing back Pacific Overtures with her in it, just to do Someone in a Tree. I'm sorry, that just came to me, and that's so cruel.
Someone hit a tree.
Ow! She was bleeding there. All right, I'm sorry to the whole world for that.
That's
Jeff,
terrible.
Give us a legal ID, and then we'll do a Performing Arts Insider commercial.
You're listening to WGBB Freeport.
If you have no idea what to see on Broadway this season, have I got a magazine for you. Performing Arts Insider, the Bible of Broadway and beyond. Every show is listed with enough information to make you a theater expert, just like the professionals who've relied on PAI for 64 years. Get the most recent issue at PerformingArtsInsider.com. Dave's Gone By listeners get a steep discount on subscriptions, so visit PerformingArtsInsider.com for Broadway the best way. Broadway the best way indeed from Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, and by all means... What did you say, Jeff?
The Bible of Broadway.
Go to PerformingArtsInsider.com to find out more about this great journal, this journal that if you're a Dave's Gone By listener, you can subscribe for a really, really cool discount as well to. Sorry about that hanging preposition there. Yeah.
Can we talk about fun stuff on Broadway now?
Let us talk about fun stuff. Well, the Weird should have been fun, but you kind of turned that one into a downer. Well, it wasn't Broadway either. It was off-Broadway, but still. So let's talk about the Tony nominations that were announced this past Tuesday morning by the American Theater Wing and the Broadway League. They kind of work in tandem on this project. So, Jeff, any thoughts, any surprises, any...
Yeah,
what?
I was a little disappointed in the fact that they didn't give a Best Musical nomination to 9 to 5, which I really happen to like as a musical. I thought, especially since it was... You know, I remember seeing the movie, I remember liking it, but I kind of forgot about it. You know, it was a little flip of the movie in 1979.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was done very well. And I think that I'm a little annoyed that I think the nominating committee just wanted Billy Elliot to get the Best Musical slot. So they don't even put up this musical that would give it a run for the money. I don't think Rock of Ages is going to give Billy Elliot a run for the money.
No, sure.
And nor do I think Shrek will.
Or Next to Normal, which has its very definite merits, I think.
Next to Normal I can understand getting a nomination because it was, you know, it is a good musical. But Shrek is a very, a nothing. It's a trite musical, and it's meant for children, and, you know.
But unfortunately, I kind of felt that way about 9 to 5. I'm very happy that
Nine to Five did a competent job. I thought it was a very empowering musical. I think the fact that today is Mother's Day, I think it's every single mother's musical.
So is Menopause the musical, and that's a piece of crap, too. No, but yeah. 9 to 5 is not a piece of crap.
No,
Nine
it's
five
not.
It's a capable... It's just, there's nothing surprising in it.
It's well directed. Well, what do you want to be surprising in it?
I
want to
be surprised by the lyrics. I want it to be funny, not just amusing.
Yeah, the first big surprising thing, the original Christmas Eve was in it. From Avenue Q.
She has nothing to do.
I know.
She has a couple of cute lines. But
she understudies Alice and Janney, though.
Which is a bizarre bit of...
Isn't it?
Yeah, this is very internal kind of jokey.
I mean,
I
want to go see it when Alice and Janney's out now.
To see what Ang Haraga would do with that part, because I don't
see
her
really
in it at
odd?
All. Yeah.
I know. But anyway...
I can see where it's a bit of a shock the 9 to 5 wasn't out, because it's such a big musical and a popular one. But yeah, I'm not sorry that it didn't get a nomination. I think it's kind of, I haven't seen Rock of Ages, but for me, Billy Elliot is still by far the best musical of the season. I mean, 9 to 5 doesn't even have a patch on it, so.
See, I don't know. I was somewhat disappointed with Billy Elliot.
Okay.
I thought their music, I thought the two best songs in that were very trite.
Would you not have put Billy Elliot on that list of best musicals?
Oh, no, I would have put it on there.
Yeah.
But I would have let another popular musical get a shot at it.
So, any other thoughts on any of the other categories before we have to kind of wrap up kind of quick here?
Well, I was kind of glad that Title of Show got in there. And
Title of Show got a best...
it got best book.
Okay.
Which I think it did have one of the better books this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, you know, well, at least they gave Dolly Parton a nomination for score.
Okay. I mean, I don't think her score was that special. The two best songs are songs she wrote 20 years ago, Backwoods Barbie and, of course, 9 to 5. She has one good song at the end, but everything else felt very generic to me. But, all right, you know what, enough of the 9 to 5. We need to do more of this next week when we have a little more time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I still don't have time to talk. At some point, I'll talk about L.A. in the middle of winter. When
there you go. I was surprised Flight Spirit didn't get more stuff.
Well, yeah, Lansbury got, of course, but I wasn't that thrilled with
Lansbury. And the big thing I was happy about with Billy Elliot was that all three kids got nominated together.
Well, that was kind of a nice thing. And I'm happy about the Norman Conquests. Well, actually, there was a Drama Desk thing where they gave the Norman Conquest Best Ensemble. But I just saw two of the three Norman Conquest shows, and it's just... marvelous. I love that play. And
really?
With a couple of little reservations about the leading character in this production, I think that the cast is sensational. And I can't wait to go back and see part three mm-hmm. of the Norman Conquest. So
well,
I hope that
no
gets
part
revival.
One, two, or three. It's like...
I know, they're all. Anywho, we've got to wrap up Inside Broadway. It's 12:11 a.m. The Gospel People are coming in. So we'll close up this Dave's Gone By right after these messages. We've just been Inside Broadway. thanks to TogoTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. Psst, you wanna buy a watch? No? How about a dishwasher? Vacation to Europe? Well, what's wrong with selling my stuff this way? How else? Advertise on Dave's Gone By? Take a 30 or 60 second ad on the radio? I can't afford that. I can, and I'll reach thousands of listeners all over America? Well, how do I... Dave'sGoneBy.org has all the info. Rate card and everything? Done deal! Hey, before I go, wanna buy a raincoat full of watches?
Dave's Gone By.
It goes so quick, doesn't it? The neighborhood here.
It's like we just entered the neighborhood.
And yet here it is already Monday morning, so let's just tell people some stuff really, really quick. First of all, to find out more about this program, please go to davesgoneby.org. Remember, that's Dave, like my name, with a V, davesgoneby.org. And if you want comments or suggestions for this program, please email me at davesgoneby@aol.com. Jeff, let's get through our sponsors super, super quick.
The Woodrow Delicatessen. See, I remembered it.
Yeah,
it's
you got
delicious.
It is, and it's at the Peninsula Shopping Center in Hewlett, open 7 days a week. Totally, I eat there once a week now. My family's been eating there basically weekly for 30 years. It's delicious.
And then, when you want to copy that dinner, you just go over to Hewlett Minuteman Press.
1315 Broadway in Hewlett, family-owned since the 1970s, with how much off for Dave's Gone By listeners?
10%.
That is correct, so.
And then, if you want something to read,
mm-hmm.
you grab the Bible of Broadway.
Performing Arts Insider Theater Journal, performingartsinsider.com, the place to go to find out more about that. And also go to TogoTheater.com for more about the theater, plus hundreds and hundreds of theater reviews and feature stories from around the world, TogoTheater.com. And your party needs...
balloons or decorations, call Fancy Schmancy Balloons at 516-797-3229.
797-3229. Reminding everybody once more that Tuesday night, this Tuesday, May 12th, Charles Bloom, Barry Moss, the casting director, Neil Berg, the producer and composer, and playwright David Simpagico will be my guests at the Players Theater, 115 McDougal Street, 7 o'clock, Tuesday night. So go see that. And everybody also, if you haven't seen Rabbi Saul Solomon in Shalom Damn It, what are you waiting for? Go to YouTube.com, see the great 10 episodes of Rabbi Saul doing Shalom Damn It. You will not, maybe you will be sorry, but...
what's a half hour of your life?
You won't know if you're sorry until you see it, you see? So
and Dave will give it back to you if you really hate it.
And some happy news, if you wanted some theater happy news, don't forget that on June 7th, 5 to 7 p.m. here on WGBB, I'll be hosting, and Jeff, I'm sure, will hopefully be guest co-hosting the WGBB Tony Award special. I think it's our fifth one on the station. Woo! Thank you so much to my beloved, wonderful wife, Joyce, who is a mommy to our puppies and our frogs. And our potatoes. Please don't make me explain that. Thanks so much to James Selvidge. And please, please get his book about foreign films in America. Also, want to thank my beloved mom. Happy Mother's Day to you and my Aunt Esther and my Aunt Bonnie. And Jeff, do you have any answer?
No, but we could wish a happy bar mitzvah to Daniel Ash.
Happy bar mitzvah to Daniel. And thank you, Jeff Goodman, for being here pretty much every week. Next week I will probably not be here because I'll be over at the Drama Desk Awards. I might make a phone appearance. We'll have to check on that.
Aww.
But for now, it's time to leave the neighborhood, but I'll be back soon.
In a week or two.
For the 311th episode.
That's 311. That's something you dial.
It's all the information you need about Days Gone By. Until then, don't miss your Days Going By. We'll go out with Mr. Rogers giving some fairly fatherly advice about mothers and everyone else.
Aww.
This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff Goodman.
Wishing you good night. Thanks, Mom.
And Gone By.
When your heart has butterflies inside it, then your heart is full of love. When your heart feels just like overflowing, then your heart is full of love. Love is fragile as your tears. Love is stronger than your your heart can sing another's gladness, then your heart is full.